morning. Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Safe entry and take a temperature.
Good morning. Welcome to FCC.
Welcome to FCC. Good morning. It's with Liz.
Good morning.
Welcome home.
Come, let me show you to your seat.
There you go. Please sit down. Have a good service, okay?
Good morning and welcome home, everyone. It's the second Sunday. We are back here in FCC on-site doing our production of the service. And I'd like to welcome you home, no matter where you are, whether you're in Singapore or you're calling in and dialing in overseas, or you're even watching this post-live. It's standing in front of here after, you know, like so many months, almost half a year, more than half a year, is like an amazing experience for me. And it's similar to how after long waiting, right, the anticipation is like that of a resurrection. And that ties into today's our sermon topic, where Pauline later will bring us through exploring how encountering the resurrected and living God changes and transforms the lives of disciples. And I believe that God, with a loving heart, to reach out to our God, God reaches out to us no matter where we are, whether we are physically on site in church or in your living room, your bedroom, wherever you are. God is ready to meet us at where we are at. So let us respond to our God with love and with a single voice. Let us respond to the call to worship in preparation to meet our Lord. Come in, and sit down. You are a part of the family.
We are lost and we are found, and we are a part of the family.
We know, God, that we who have gathered here are a part of the family, but we also know that the family is much bigger still.
There are people we don't understand. There are people we disagree with. There are people we don't like. There are people who don't like us.
Challenge us, God, to expand our vision of family.
Until we see all of creation as one big family. Amen.
Amen. Now let us come together with the worship team to worship our Lord, to be with Him. And if you are experiencing some difficulty in the streaming, watching the stream of the worship, you can actually go to aka.ms/FCC Live Worship to access the worship in HD. The link will be posted in a Q&A, and whereby you can click out to watch the video. However, after watching the video, please come back and join us in live service. Thank you.
Let's come to our Lord's house to offer Him our praise and our worship.
Sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay, I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. I could hold on, I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe, I could be savior in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me. You'll lead me, Lord.
I could hold on.
I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe, I could be safe, I could be safe. You're in your arms and never leave home. Never let these walls down, but you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me, Lord. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord.
But you have called me.
But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You lead me, Lord.
You have called me higher.
Oh, higher.
You have called me deeper,
and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You lead me. You lead me, Lord.
Yours.
I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life, so let your mercy. And I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life, so let your mercy light the path before me. But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead.
Thank you. Thank you.
sure. All of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all my life through your.
Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. God, you are the God in our connections, embedded in our relationships, because you are love.
We give thanks for the improving COVID-19 situation here in Singapore. And even as we prepare to move back to having physical services next month here in FCC, God help us guard against complacency. In this time of COVID-19, we pray, when we aren't sure, God, help us be calm. When fear makes it hard to breathe and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, God. Help us to reach out with our hearts when we can't touch with our hands. Help us be socially connected when we have to be socially distant. Help us to love as perfectly as we can, knowing that perfect love casts out all fear. For the nurses and doctors, we pray. For essential workers and the caregivers, we pray. For the researchers and the scientists, for those who are sick and those who are grieving, we pray. For all who are affected, all around the world, we pray. For safety, for health, for wholeness. We mourn the passing of US Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She spent her life championing equality and justice. In Barack Obama's words, Justice Ginsburg helped us see that discrimination on basis of sex isn't about an abstract ideal of justice, abstract ideal of equality, that it doesn't only harm women, that it has real consequences for all of us. May we seek, like her, justice, not just for ourselves, but justice for all people. With words, we cry out for justice in our lives and in our world. And from Proverbs 31, verse 8 to 9, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. God, may we feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked and house those without homes. May we walk with those who feel they are alone. And may we do all that we can to heal the sick in spite of the epidemic, in spite of the fear. Help us, O God, that we might help one another in the name of our Creator, in the name of the Healer, in the life of the Holy Spirit that is in all and with all, we pray. Amen.
So good morning. So wonderful to be with all of you today. And today we continue with our series on Encountering God, looking at resurrection encounters and how the lives of Mary Magdalene and Peter changed through their personal encounters with the risen Christ. I'll be referring to John chapter 20 and 21 as the base for these accounts, but I'll also be referring to the other gospel accounts. So if you can follow along with your Bibles, that'd be great. Up to you, okay? So in his writings, the Apostle John seems to like the personal touch. And I think that's probably one of the reasons I like the Gospel of John so much. In John 20 to 21, he helps us to capture a glimpse of Jesus through a series of one-on-one encounters. And today, we'll be focusing on two: Jesus' encounters with Mary Magdalene and his encounter with Peter after the resurrection. But before we proceed, I wanted to start by asking you a question. Who was the first person Jesus appeared to after the resurrection? So you can fill in your answers in the Q&A, and I'll come back to it in a while. But according to the Synoptic Gospels, a group of women rose early that morning, 3 days after Jesus had died, to anoint the body with spices and perfumes. When they arrived at the tomb, they found an empty tomb and were met by divine messengers who declared that Jesus had risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Now the women immediately left the tomb and with fear and great joy, and that's what Matthew described it in 28 verse 8, with fear and great joy, they ran to tell the other disciples. Luke records that on their way, they remembered what Jesus had taught them about rising again. And this is important because it confirms the fact that these women had been present together with the male disciples for some of Christ's most important and intimate revelations, and that they took these teachings to heart. But what happened? When the breathless women arrived at the home where the disciples had gathered, the men did not believe them. You see, women were considered unreliable witnesses at that time. So the proclamation of the good news was dismissed by the men as an idle tale. And that's exactly the words that Luke used in Luke 24, verse 11. An idle tale. The type of silly gossip typical of uneducated women. A few, however, were curious enough to take a look at the tomb. And so, according to John's account, Mary Magdalene returned with Peter and John to the empty grave, and they all agreed that, yes, the tomb does look empty. However, in John chapter 20, verse 9, it notes that they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So, who was the first person that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection? Let's have a look, okay? So, yes, Jay said, Mary Magdalene, wonderful, yes. Okay, excellent, Jay. So yes, Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. See, after they went to the tomb, Peter and John returned to report what they had seen to the rest of the disciples, leaving Mary behind at the garden. Perhaps the men had brought up the theory that Jesus' body had been stolen, because we read that Mary Magdalene, once so full of breathless excitement and joyful belief, is now standing outside the tomb crying. And the angels appeared and asked her what was wrong. And she said, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him. Then she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Mary assumed that he was the gardener. He also asked her why she was crying. And she pleaded, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will go get him. It was only when Jesus called her by name that Mary recognized the man was Jesus. Mary, he said. Rabboni, she cried. She knew him, her teacher, her rabbi. And Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, I wanted to pause and ask you a question, because this is a question that came to my mind when I was reading this passage. Why do you think Jesus specifically asked Mary Magdalene to go to the brothers and tell them his message? When I first read this passage, I wondered why Jesus specified my brothers, the male disciples. Jesus obviously had female followers too. So why not go tell all my disciples and followers? Was Jesus being discriminatory and prioritizing the male disciples as more important than the women? So as you write down your answers and your responses, I can think of two reasons, and maybe you will think of more. And so I'll cycle back and have a look at what you think, okay? But firstly, I think Jesus wanted a woman to tell them, to tell the men. It was not coincidental that the first person Jesus appeared to after the resurrection was a woman. Like we saw in the gospel account earlier, women were considered unreliable witnesses at that time. And the male disciples didn't believe them at first about the empty tomb and thought what they said was an idle tale. Women and their words were not taken seriously. Women were not valued as equal human beings. And Jesus, in doing what he did with Mary, was doing something subversive to the culture. Jesus, being the revolutionary that he was, set the stage for the recognition of women as fellow disciples. In fact, the early church later recognized and honored Mary Magdalene with the title Apostle to the Apostles. And I think the second reason is personal. If you remember, Mary Magdalene had a history. According to Luke 8, she had 7 demons cast out of her, after which she became a devoted disciple of Christ. There probably was much stigma and suspicion around her mental and spiritual health. I think Jesus wanted Mary Magdalene to go beyond the confines of her past and the limits that society had placed on her and step boldly into God's calling for her life. To not let her past hold her back, so that she can move bravely into the future that God had for her. Can you imagine what went through Mary's mind when Jesus asked her to go to the brothers and tell them what he said to her? She had just gone to them earlier, right, to tell them about the empty tomb, and they were skeptical of what she and the other women said. Now she had to go back to them again and tell them that she had not only seen Jesus, but that she had this message to share with them that he had entrusted to her. How would the brothers react? I think it took a lot of courage for her to go back to them and declare, "I have seen the Lord." She had to be ready for their disbelief and dismissal, perhaps even their rejection and ridicule. But she shrugged off those fears and stepped into the role that Jesus called her to. I wonder if you are held back by your past or by your fears or by the limits that society has placed on you. Is God's Spirit nudging you to move past those limiting fears and step into the call and future that God has in store for you? And just let me pause to look a little bit at some of the responses, okay? And so Anonymous said, because they don't believe that pool of news from women, yes. So maybe she had to be the one to go tell them, again, I have seen the Lord, and to pass them the message. That Christ ushered in this new era of life and liberation in the presence of women, and that he sent them out as the first witnesses of the complete gospel story, is perhaps the boldest, most overt affirmation of the equality in his kingdom that Jesus ever delivered. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see this is what Rachel Held Evans said. Like what Mark prayed in his prayer earlier, the equality is not just for one group of people, it's for all of us. That Christ ushered in this new era of life and liberation is the most overt affirmation of their equality in his kingdom that Jesus ever delivered. What about Peter and his encounter with Jesus? Just like for Mary Magdalene, we see a restoration of relationship first. Jesus first reassures Peter and Mary of his presence and love and takes the initiative to restore his relationship with each of them. And this is especially true for Peter. As you know, Peter denied knowing Christ 3 times after Jesus was arrested and condemned by the Roman authorities. Before Jesus' arrest, he had rashly proclaimed that he would never deny Jesus. So when he did actually deny Jesus, I think he must have been really broken and devastated and disappointed with himself. Have you ever felt that way before? Disappointed with yourself? So Peter went back to what was familiar to him, his old job before Jesus called him to follow him and be a fisher of souls. He went out fishing and the other disciples went with him. And Jesus stood at the beach waiting for them, and they did not know it was Jesus until he told them to cast their net to the other side. There were so many fish he could hardly haul it in, and then it hit them. This was such a familiar scene. And then John turned to Peter and exclaimed, "It is the Lord." Jesus then invited them to come for breakfast and brought bread with them again over the fire, signifying the restoration of their relationship. Then Jesus asked Peter a direct question, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked him, followed by a command, "Then feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." And this is the only question Jesus asked Peter. He could have asked Peter, "Why did you fail me at the moment when I needed you most?" But he didn't. Jesus knew that Peter, as well as the other disciples, would fail him. But what mattered most was the restoration of their relationship. And that's why Jesus' only question to Peter was, "Do you love me?" It didn't matter what he did in the past. What mattered was his current heart attitude toward Jesus. Although Peter denied knowing him, Jesus came to Peter and initiated the reconciliation process first. And it's the same with us. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. What God is most concerned with is your current heart attitude. Do you love me? And often it is God who initiates the reconciliation process first. The only question God has for you and for me right now is, do you love me? Resurrection encounters are about the restoration of relationships. So what happens after the restoration of relationships? Jesus said to Peter, "If you love me, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." From a fisher of souls, Jesus challenges Peter to be a shepherd of souls. Not only is he to be a shepherd of souls, Peter is to be a shepherd like Jesus was. With Jesus alluding to the fact that Peter might even end up losing his life. And so I wanted to ask you this question. When you see what Jesus said, what does feeding my lambs and taking care of my sheep mean to you today? What does feeding my lambs mean to you? Especially all that we have seen and experienced in 2020, the state of our migrant workers, the situations of those who are less privileged, the struggles of those who are looking for jobs right now and just for a living, the situation of our world around us and what's going on. After all that we have seen and experienced in 2020, who do you think are Jesus' sheep? And what does feeding my lambs and taking care of my sheep mean to you? Are Jesus' lambs and sheep just the people within our community? Or are they the people outside who are in need? This question is important because it is a question any church needs to answer. What is our purpose and call as FCC? Jesus says, "If you love me, feed my lambs and take care of my sheep." This applies to people within the church, But it also applies to people outside. You know, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in as well. And that's found in John 10, verse 16. So this shepherding care is meant to be extended outwards. We take care of one another so that we can take care of others too. So who are lambs and sheep to you? Ah, I see. Thank you for some of your observations. Really good. Jimmy had said, interesting, isn't it, that salvation, the new creation, started with a woman, Mary, and the new creation, resurrection, also starts with a woman, also another Mary. Yes, there were many Marys in the New Testament. And yes, we talked about why cannot hold Jesus. So, who are the sheep and the lambs, and what does that mean? And so one of you said, taking care of physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of people. Yes, absolutely. So it's not just the spiritual needs, which is important, which we are called to feed, to take care of, to tend to. It's also the physical, the emotional needs of others, both within a community and outside. You see, the resurrection encounters that Jesus had with Mary Magdalene and Peter led to changed lives. Mary became known as the apostle to the apostles, and Peter became one of the leaders of the early church. But in order for that to change, in order for their lives to change, the story they told themselves about themselves had to change. And that was what Jesus helped them to do. You see, we each have a story we tell ourselves about ourselves. When I was young, I used to think that my parents loved my brother more than me. And the reason why is because I overheard my dad once commenting to a friend that it's natural to 重男轻女, basically to value males over females. So I always thought that I was loved less and valued less than my brother in my parents' eyes. And that was a story I told myself. And it affected how I saw myself and my relationship with my parents. But as I grew older, I realized that while my parents loved me and my siblings in different ways, they loved us all very much. So the fact hasn't changed. My dad did say that it was natural to value males over females to his friend, and I did hear it. But the story I told myself about the situation changed. I realized that my dad was just repeating a phrase that he had often heard from people around, especially his own father. Maybe a part of him believed what his father said many years ago because it was passed on to him. But you know, to give my dad credit, his actions over the years proved that he loved us all, regardless of our gender. So as my mindset shifted, I began to notice and realize how my parents have trusted me to make important decisions since I was young, and they supported me every step of the way. And that helped me grow in my confidence and self-esteem, and gave me courage to follow God's leading and call later on in my life. As a woman of a time, Mary would have felt less valued because of the way society viewed women. On top of that, she had 7 demons cast out of her before she became one of Jesus' disciples. The male disciples didn't believe her at first when she told them that Jesus' body was gone. And when Jesus sent her to them again with a message he entrusted only to her, Jesus was inviting her to change the way that she tells the story about herself. In the same way, Jesus was inviting Peter to change the way he tells the story about himself. He did deny Jesus, not just once, but three times. He failed Jesus at the moment when he needed him most. Peter saw himself as a failure and probably thought that it was all over. But Jesus helped him see that failure is only a temporary detour, not a dead end. And this was just the beginning. And all Jesus wanted to know was, do you love me? What story do you tell yourself about yourself? Is God wanting to help you tell a different story? You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, as Mary Magdalene discovered. Not failure, as Peter found out. The truth is, there is nothing, not one single thing, you and I need to do to be loved by God. Why? Because we are already loved by God, totally, completely, unconditionally, with an everlasting love, the Bible says. Resurrection encounters are about the restoration of relationships and the beginnings of a new story. And resurrection is not a one-time thing. It isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. Kylie Todd Rosker said this, "Resurrection occurs again and again as God's incarnational presence, even now, right here." John goes to great lengths to recount Jesus' different resurrection encounters. And these encounters teach us about a God who meets people in relationship, offering support and impelling us to live lives of purpose. Again and again, John's Gospel shows us that Jesus' presence offers both solace and challenge. Mary Magdalene is called by name and sent to announce the resurrection. The disciples are blessed with peace and sent to practice forgiveness. And Peter is reconciled and charged with truly pulling Jesus. Whether we are paralyzed with grief like Mary, or huddled in fear like the disciples, God comes to us wherever we are, at a tomb, behind a locked door, doing our everyday work. God meets us even when we are questioning the very essence and presence of God. Wherever we are, love incarnate shows up, offering both deep reassurance and an unsettling call to live more deeply into who we are called to be. Today, may you encounter God's presence that offers both solace and challenge. May your love incarnate show up wherever you are, offering deep reassurance and an unsettling call to live more deeply into who you are called to be. Amen.
Good morning, church. It is exciting to be back here in One Commonwealth after being online for the last few months, and I'm feeling very thankful that we can slowly once again come back to our space to worship and fellowship together. And now the Holy Communion. We gather each Sunday at this table, even though at this time we are not physically together. The table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient.
God of mercy and justice, be with us. We lift our hearts to you, not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, but because it's how we respond to your unconditional love, because it feels good to know we are loved.
As long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy.
Of how you gave food to the poor, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the lost.
And as long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy.
Of how you gave freedom to the enslaved, opportunity to the outcast, and peace to the war-torn.
You acted with both mercy and justice,
rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, providing them with manna when they were hungry.
And your people acted with both mercy and justice,
like the prophets who cried out to care for widow, orphan, and foreigner, and those who provided food, shelter, and community.
You have shared your mercy and justice with us, not only as gifts to be received from you, but as gifts that we are to share with the world. We see this gift most clearly in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us what a life of mercy and justice looked like.
In mercy, he gave food to the hungry. In justice, he broke social custom and shared tables with the powerful and the lowly at once. In mercy, he cared for the sick. In justice, he broke religious custom and healed on the Sabbath. In mercy, he had compassion for the poor. In justice, he spoke out against the empire that held them in poverty. In mercy, he washed his disciples' feet. In justice, he died without protest to expose a corrupt system.
On the night he was handed over to the unjust system that killed him, he protested by sharing a meal with his friends. There he took bread, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his broken body every time they ate bread. After they ate, he took the cup, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his spilled blood every time they drank wine.
But that wasn't all. God's mercy and justice burst forth when Jesus died, and his resurrection gave hope to all those who hunger for mercy and thirst for justice. God will always equip those who seek to share mercy and justice. Even death cannot stop God's incredible grace.
So, we ask God's Holy Spirit to be poured out on this meal, on these gifts of mercy, bread and juice, that we may remember Jesus' ministry of mercy and justice. That these gifts of mercy may become for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may show mercy and do justice, not for ourselves, but for the transformation of the world. We now partake of the elements with gratefulness and share.
God, through this meal, we pray that your grace will empower us to do justice, to offer mercy, and to do so with humility. You have given us your Son as an example, and your Holy Spirit as advocate. Give us the courage to do your work in the world. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jonathan, for the communion, for hosting a communion. And thank you, Pauline, for the wonderful sermon earlier. Now, welcome again, everybody. My name is Jimmy. I'm your service leader for today. And now we have at the announcement segment of our Sunday worship, our Sunday service. Welcome home to our friends old and new, and also our siblings from all over the world. If you're new with us, right, welcome. We would like to actually get in touch with you and know you to serve you better. So on this slide, you can actually see that, you know, we are inviting newcomers or new members or fairly new friends to let us know who you are by you can give us introduce yourself or let us know you through aka.ms/sccwelcome. And that will be the welcome form. On every Sunday of on the last Sunday of every month, we actually have a newcomers meeting. Of course, we are holding it down digitally. It's a time whereby you can get to ask questions, get to know us better. You can speak to the pastors, get to know what understand what FCC's maybe you like to know the theological positioning, what we do, our mission, and just or simply just to make friends with us. I would like to encourage you to reach out to us and send us an email at info@freecomchurch.org. Now the next announcement will be the regular announcement. Of course, our pastoral support given by our FCC, our church, is still available. Okay, reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org if you or friends you know are in need of pastoral support and pastoral care. Next, as usual, after the service every Sunday, we have two digital rooms open. One will be for live prayer. If you'd like to come together as a family to pray for one another, to pray for something that's weighing down our heart, do join the pastor in going to aka.ms/fccliveprayer after the service. Then for those who are actually excited and likes group discussion or mutual learning, peer sharing, join us at the live discussion room after the service at aka.ms/fccliverediscussion. Now, on a weekly basis for the many months now, we actually have a weekly prayer meeting hosted on Zoom every Wednesday from 8 to 8:30. All right, so you do take note of the URL bit.ly/FCCPrayerMeeting2020. Oh, this is the exciting part, right? As we are approaching 11 October, it's a very special time for us. It's actually the church, our FCC Free Community Church anniversary. And as usual, as our practice, right? We are beyond not just celebrating, right? We are also will be holding our baptism for our baptism candidates. And at the same time, we are also inviting regular congregants, friends, and even those who are new with us for at least past six months, right? To join us as a member in FCC, to connect, to grow, and to serve together. All right. So if you're interested to find out more, you want to be part of our family, and you feel at home with us, right? Reach out to our pastors, or just drop your inquiries, or even like express your interest by emailing to us at the same email, info@freecomchurch.org. So please do that maybe in the next before 11 October, so that we can actually reach out to you. All right. So the exciting part of the September conversation series, that will be our queer conversations. We have already, for the four sessions, we have already completed three sessions. For the next one, right, that will be the maybe exciting for many of maybe newer members, newer congregants, that will be touching on a Christian perspective on sexual ethics. Because many of our LGBTQ, our queer community, sometimes being a Christian and sometimes we have to navigate, we are not very sure, hey, where can I find resource? How do I navigate, relationship or even my sexual ethics? Because sometimes the heteronormative, practice or perspective may not be relevant to a non-binary person. So how do we navigate that? How do we build loving relationship with our partners? So if you are interested to know, or even if you are just an ally coming to understand where our perspective is, do join us and sign up for our Friday conversation series. All right, that's happening this 25th September at 8 p.m. To register, right, go to aka.ms/FCCQC, QC for Queer Conversation. All right. Now, I know there's a lot of, you know, URL, there's a lot of rooms, you know, like a lot of information you get lost in, you know, like, oh, it's too overwhelming. But don't be afraid, you know, we are actually providing a service or by giving you announcements and all these links through our WhatsApp broadcast list. So to join our broadcast list, email your name to our number 9366-3818. All right, so we'll send your number and save this number in your on your phone. All right, and you'll be receiving weekly announcements. Now, last but not least, this is the second week we are back on site producing our Sunday service, and we really love to hear what your feedback is. So do go to aka.ms/fcclivefeedback. Your feedback is really very important for us to ensure that we provide a really good experience, right, or relevant experience to help all our congregants digitally to connect with God and make the to enrich our spiritual lives. So encourage you to give us your feedback, right? Thank you. Now we are moving on to the next segment. You know, we are worshiping God through our giving. FCC, Free Community Church is now accepting offering tithes and offering through give.asia. So do go to freecomchurch.give.asia if you are giving via credit card. You know, you can actually put it as a one-off giving, or you can set it as a recurring payment on a monthly basis. Your donation, so just to run you through the interface, on the top line, right, you can actually see you can input the amount you like to donate or provide your offering and tithes for FCC. Then for the next part, right, it's not a non-mandatory donation to give.asia. And you can also fill in your name and email address so that you can receive an email receipt. That is for accounting purposes. And of course, do set your privacy settings if you do not want your name to be seen publicly. So next. And some of you may not be giving through credit card, or maybe like some of our, I know a number of our congregation, right, member of our congregation, they do give via PayNow. So if you are giving by PayNow, you can whip up your phone now, go to an app, iBanking app, and then scan the QR code. So you can actually give to two funds that we have in FCC. One will be the general fund that goes to the operation, maintenance, and salary, the functions of the functioning, keep the upkeeping of the church operationally. The other fund will be for the building fund, all right? That is going to the upkeep of the building for the loans of the of our building. So as shared previously in the previous month, right, because of COVID-19, because it's a year of uncertainty, we're away from church. So we have seen a drop in our giving and receiving in offering. So I encourage you, you know, to give to the mission, to join us in continuing reaching out in this time of uncertainty, this year of uncertainty, you know, through your faithful giving. So you can, to know more, right, you can also go to a link will be shared, right, on the page of our FCC website. There will be a freecomchurch.org/give. There you can actually find out more information about different ways of giving your tithes and offerings, right? So right now, while you're preparing your giving, all right, I'd like to invite you to prepare our hearts for the offerings that we are giving by saying joining me in a prayer of thanksgiving. Resurrected and living God, you give us life, you give us life, and we bring all things to life. When all hope seems to be lost, you know, you are with us. You are the life in us. So we thank you, Lord, for the hopes, for the joy that we have in our hearts and in our life, the many blessings we receive. You give and you take away. and we thank you for being a generous and loving God. Help us to emulate you, to become more like you, freely loving, freely giving, to be our faithful disciples. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. So, we have not come to a close yet. We'll transit to the last song for our worship. So join me in a time together now for our last worship song with our worship team.
Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the sure. All of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself.
followers of the resurrected one. May you always remember, resurrection is not just about being resurrected and raised to life physically, but also about restoration of relationships through grace, through forgiveness, through love. So may you go out and live out love, forgiveness, and grace in your lives so that relationships are restored and you live out the resurrected life. Go in peace and go in love always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Myuk. And thank you, everyone, once again, for joining us this Sunday. However, although we have come to our service has formally come to an end, but fellowship don't have to end here. So we'd like to invite you and see you in the post-service rooms, in the live prayer room, and also the live discussion room. So once again, we'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.